The Holy Gospel, according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Now, when Jesus saw Nathanael walking toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So I'm getting notifications here. I think we are all good. I wanted to say thank you very much for your indulgence of me preaching from home. We had a scare this past week because Carly, our daughter who goes to Purdue, got okay, everything's working. Sorry, I got to turn my notifications off on my phone. She got a notification from that her COVID test to go back to school came back positive. So we continued to pray, but also Missy and I and Connor got tested, and now everything, we have tested negative. Carly's still showing no symptoms. We have no symptoms here. We were also visiting with my parents, and they're showing no symptoms at this point. So we're hoping that Carly got a false positive, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, at this time, I want to invite the kids to come up if they're available, and I'm going to get another monitor here to see if I can see any of those. Can you make the screen larger, honey? There we go. Just turn this way. It's fine. Yep. All right. Good to see you guys. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at both places. I'm staring at the camera here, but then also want to see your faces over there. That's great. So this first lesson that we heard has been kind of cool because Samuel, the main character in that reading, is basically just a few years older than you are. So he's living in the temple, and the only person that he knows is, well, he knows lots of people, but the person that's giving him instruction, the person that's teaching him is basically, or is, Eli. So they're sleeping one night, and Samuel hears his name. He hears someone call out, Samuel. So he gets up and he figures it's Eli, and he goes there, and he's like, Eli is very tired. He says, "Go back to sleep. I didn't call you." This happens two more times. And then Eli remembers, well, when God calls us, sometimes God calls us by name. And when God calls us by name, what do? We need to listen. We need to listen for God. So Eli tells him, "Hey, next time you hear that, just wait for a moment, say to yourself, 'Speak, Lord, and your servant is waiting. Your servant is here.'" It's a cool way to remember that God talks to lots of people, and God can even talk to people like you, people who are younger. And sometimes it's easier for God to talk to you than it is to the older people, because the older people have so many other things going on in their lives. You have a lot of things, but sometimes you can be the voice of God when you are able to listen. So whenever you are a little sleepy and you want to say, God, I am here. I want to hear your voice. Go ahead and do that, because God might tell you something very special in those moments when there's nobody else around and you are there in God's presence. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, but also help us to be quiet at times and to listen to you so that we will know more of your love and more about how to share that love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father to you this wonderful day. We continue into this season of Epiphany. It is truly a season of discovery. In most of the scriptures we will hear, they're about the individuals in their context discovering Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. It is a discovery of truth. We have placed the blessing of the rooms of our homes at the beginning of our worship this season. Since we can't come and go as we want easily did, the worship team wanted to provide an opportunity to open ourselves to God, where we are spending most of our time right now, if not all of our time. I believe many of us who grew up going to Sunday school can remember this story of Samuel being summoned in the night and thinking it was Eli. He goes to Eli and says, "What do you need? Here I am." And Eli, not aware of what Samuel is talking about, sends him back. This happens two more times until Eli realizes what is actually taking place. He recognizes that God is calling to Samuel and that he tells Samuel exactly what to do the next time he hears that voice. He says, "Next time you hear that voice, say, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" It's a great story of opening to one's awareness to God and being open to God's presence in all of creation. What's particularly important is the context in which this is happening. Dr. Corey Driver, a deacon and director of the Transformational Leadership Academy, pointed out in his lectionary discussion for this Sunday that we hear the text, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel is lying down in the temple of the Lord." Now, what if Eli's eyesight was physically diminished and metaphorically diminished? Dr. Corey Driver points out that this is a not so subtle way of telling us Eli's capability of seeing God or listening to God or being open to God was weakened, that he was not able to see what it was God was instructing him to do. Eli, a high priest of the temple, had two sons, both priests, but in 1 Samuel 2, verse 12, the sons were called scoundrels. They were bad priests. Why? Well, they put themselves first and were not keeping their vows to be vessels of God. As individuals came to offer their sacrifices to God, they would demand a portion before it was burnt. It was these individuals, or if these individuals did not comply, the priest would actually threaten them. And these sons of Eli, these priests, would even abuse women who were serving at the temple. Eli, finally, after hearing all the reports from the public, yes, after those words actually reached the evening news, Eli finally stands up to his sons and tells them what severe mistakes they have made. He says, "This is not right," but they would not listen. It was too late. The message they had sent as priests was already tarnished. Now, Eli, the father and high priest, has failed his sons by not giving and not being there to give them God's instruction at the very beginning of their power-struck joyride of self-indulgence. Yet God calls out, not once, not twice, not three times, four times. And the fourth time, God actually stands there. In verse 10, God came and stood there, calling as before, and gives his message to Samuel, which Samuel will proclaim bravely and gently to Eli. His proclamation is not easy for Samuel to give, because in all of Eli's misgivings, he was still the one who guided Samuel since he had been in the temple. Yet Samuel bravely gave the proclamation that the leadership of Eli and his sons need to go. They have misused the power given. They have abused people instead of loving and guiding them. And God intends to start over. Can you imagine something like that happening? As Corey Driver says, it's a gift. God is with us. God is actually in us. This is the gift of truth. As those words roll out of my mouth, I remember a few conversations during pints with a pastor that we've had in the past. Truth can be relative depending on the context we live and change as we mature. Truth can look a little bit different. The truth of religion may be skewed depending on one's context. The truth of someone stealing might look tilted if their only way of feeding their family is to steal. And the only reason they are forced to steal is because maybe the way of making a living was actually stolen from them by the society in which they were born. But the truth that I am referring to is the truth of God's love, which is for all people, for all creation. God's truth, God's love is the truth that cannot be relative to situations because it is unconditional. God's love is the truth because it cannot be skewed to land on some and shielded from others. God's love is truth because it cannot be tilted by us or life circumstances. Earlier, we heard this wonderful psalm, Psalm 139, which God created our inmost parts. God knit us together within our mother's wombs. Thank God because we are marvelously made, because God's works are wonderful and we know it well. Our bodies were not hidden from God while we were being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. God's eyes beheld our limbs, yet finished in the womb. All of us, all of them were written in God's book. Our days were fashioned before they came to be. Imagine your faith as a sailboat. Sometimes the weather is wonderful and everything is fine and the winds are propelling you forward. Other times there are storms and the winds are against you and you're doing your best. You're doing the best you can just to survive. In each scenario, the one part of the sailboat that we don't see, the part we might not notice, but plays a crucial part, is the keel or centerboard, which prevents the sailboat from capsizing. God's truth. God's truth that we are loved is the keel or the centerboard on our sailboat of faith. Imagine a keel stretching ridiculously long under the sailboat, and you've got the truth of God. It is God's truth that stabilizes us in the storms of life. It is the promise we all have, that we all receive through grace. We will go through divisions and trials of unrest and storms, but God's truth of love and grace will not let us capsize. God's truth is for everyone. It does not mean we won't make mistakes, but it means we are loved. And we have the responsibility to help others to see God's truth is for everyone. I saw this on Facebook this week. Kamala is loved. Donald is fearfully, wonderfully made. Mike is cherished. Joe is important enough that I died for him. This is the truth. God's grace falls on all of us. It is our incredible pleasure to share that grace and love with everyone. This is the truth that excited the disciples to follow Jesus, and not only follow, but to tell others about this truth. Today, in our gospel, we hear about two disciples being called. But prior, even to those two disciples, two more, Andrew, after seeing and hearing Jesus, he was captivated so much that he sought out his brother Simon Peter and told him about the truth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The same way, Jesus made an impression on Philip, and Philip sought out Nathanael to share that truth. Nathanael is unsure at first, but honest about it. When he hears Philip tell him about Jesus, he asks, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" We are all a little skeptical when we hear the truth, especially when it comes from unlikely places. Nathanael has this interaction with Jesus. Jesus claims, "Nathanael is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And instead of Nathanael blindly accepting the compliment, he wants to know, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus replies, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." The significance of the fig tree in this text is unclear, but we do know that the fig trees in scriptures are where people who were learning to be priests would gather and pray and study. We also know that the fig trees were planted as shade trees outside of one's home and used for a chance to get out of a busy place. One wise pastor told me the fig tree is a sign of contentment. In the Old Testament, it's a good place for a person to live under his own fig tree during times of peace and prosperity in God's kingdom. So if you use this idea of fig trees representing contentment and prosperity, or even as one getting closer to God by studying scripture, that includes opening to the Word of God, this is the state Jesus finds Nathanael. He has prosperity, and he is content, open to God's revelation around him. And as soon as Jesus tells Nathanael, "This is where I saw you first," Nathanael jumps up at the opportunity to declare Jesus as the Son of God and instantly goes from doubt to all in and follows Jesus. I'm not sure all people would risk prosperity and contentment to reveal truth cascading from a rabbi who grew up in Nazareth. What does it take for us to risk our contentment or prosperity to follow Jesus? In our current divisive social situation, Jesus is asking those who have prosperity and contentment into a deeper understanding of truth and to share that with others. Nathanael, being open to God, realizes the connection Jesus has with God's truth. And from that point on, Nathanael is willing to follow. It is God's truth that stabilizes us in the storms of life. As we create space and become open to God, God reveals God's self to us, and our roots of faith and truth are fed. This space allows us to discover God's love, God's truth, which helps us see the world and prioritize our contentment and our prosperity with the whole of creation. Our country is deeply divided, and many of us are not sure if there is anything we can do. We can be brave and stand with God's truth of love and grace. With God's truth, Nathanael found the bravery to reprioritize his prosperity and contentment to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to embrace this courage and stand up for others who are not experiencing the same prosperity because of racism, sexism, ageism, or any type of other ism. As Samuel did to deliver God's truth to all people, we are also called to gently deliver the truth that everyone should love your neighbor, that God's truth is the love to be shared by all people, regardless of color of their skin, their political affiliation, their gender, their nationality, their age. As you become more open to God's voice, next time you hear that voice of God, please respond. Speak, for your servant is listening. As we listen and speak God's truth, very truly I tell you, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God. Amen.